Okay, today's daf is Psachim Daf Gimel. Again, as I said last week, I'm just in transit these next couple of days, so until we get the regular schedule, it'll take a couple of days. But Bez Hashem, I hope then that the each daf will be up one day earlier, so that everybody can enjoy it in proper time, no matter which side of the ocean that they are on. Okay, but we are on Beis Mabez right now. Meisve, four lines from the bottom. We're still in the first sugya here in Psachim about what the word or means. And therefore we get into many interesting discussions because the Gemara brings up all different contexts in terms of the word or. So we just spoke about a Psachim context. That was the last one that was brought and that was accepted. But even though it was accepted, we still bring another couple of cases until we get to the Maskana. Maybe that's why we keep bringing cases, because it's not just going to be a question, but we're going to bring four or five such strong rayas that the Maskana is going to be that there's nobody that suggests that or is the morning, as we will see, and it's just a machlokas about linguistics about Lashon. Either way, we go now to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Meisvei, four lines for the bottom. Ein Masi and Masuos, Ela Ala Chodesh, Anira Bizman Alakachos. We know the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, that they used to let people know based on the Edim that came, that saw the moon. So they used to light fires on the different mountains to let people know, right? We could imagine that maybe Bana Beis HaMikdash, there is a discussion whether we're going to go back to Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, but assuming that, so is there going to be, you know, fires on the mountains, or are there going to be mass text messages sent to Klal Yisrael? So L'chora, maybe there'll be both. We might still have to do the symbolic fire on the mountains, but we also, L'maisa, have to get it done. Similar, L'mad Avradoma, we spoke about B'dikas Chabad last time, so many poskim say that there's still a kiyum to use a candle, at least towards the beginning, to start with the candle, as we're going to see later, ki ner mitzvah v'torah, or there's a lot of symbolism by a candle, but then we turn into a flashlight. We turn into using flashlights because that is L'maisa, how Badika is done best. So, similarly, by Kiddush HaChodesh L'chora, that would be what's going to happen. But either way, the Mishnah says that the Gemara quotes here, that they only lit the fires by the Chodesh Anira Bizmano, when the moon was seen in its time, L'kadsho. What does that mean, in its time? Rashi quotes, five lines from the bottom, B'yom Shloshim, Shenira L'kadesh, on day 30, meaning, as we know, every Hebrew month could either have 29 or 30 days, so if it was seen on day 30, meaning day 30 is going to change into day 1, that's called Bizmano. That's when they used to be Mekadesh, because when the Chodesh was Meubar, and they made it 30 days, that it was, you don't need Kiddush, because everybody knows, if it wasn't yesterday, it's going to be today. Rashi's Lashon is based on the Gemara, Shekvar Kiddushu HaShamayim. And the Chiddush of this opinion in the Mishnah is that they only lit the fires on the chaser months, not on the male months. When did they light the fires? The Emasai, Masi, and Masuos, when did they light the fire? La'or Iburo. That's the Lashon. What's La'or Iburo? Rashi says that means the night after Rosh Chodesh. Leil She'avar Shloshim. The night after the 30, to let everybody know that today was Rosh Chodesh. That's a big sugya in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, but that's what Rashi says here. Either way, for our purposes, or means nighttime, or Iburo. So Alma again, or Urtahu. Shma Mina. So again, another raya that R means nighttime. Good. Right. And we're all trying to explain. All we're doing is trying to explain the first word in Meseches Psachim, and we're going over and over again to various contexts to explain it. We go weiter. Says the Gemara. Meisve, haya omikol alay lo makav ala mizbeach. We know it says in Zvachim, if he's doing the avoda the whole night, and then he's makav on the mizbeach, and he's doing the avoda the entire night, lo ora tod kiddush adayim v'raglayim. A very important sugya in Mesech Zvachim in the second parak on Daf Yates, where the Gemara discusses what is the mechaya for netilas yadayim. Right, this is not just a sugya for kachim, it's a sugya for lamaisa, netilas yadayim. There might be chilukim between kachim and hedyot, but the Gemara says there, is the mechayev for netilas yadayim in the morning, or is it ruach ra, or is it touching one of the makomos amechusim? Because what if the kohen is working the whole night, and he's about to do the avod in the morning? Does he have to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again? or he did it, that he was working throughout the night, he doesn't have to do it again. So this opinion holds that he has to. La ora tod kidish adayv raglayim. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says, when the morning comes, right, Rebbe holds that lina, the nighttime itself, is pasels the hands, and therefore he has to do kidish adayv raglayim again, in the morning. So isn't that a raya that ora means morning? So where it says ora shiny. There's a difference between or and ora. Maybe ora means morning, but or means nighttime. One of the major machlokas we know quoted in the beginning of Orach Chaim, machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba, why we do the Tefillas Adayim in the morning. Really three reasons. The third reason that they don't quote those we showed him is the Ruach Ra reason. That's why we need three times. But the machlokas Rosh and the Rashba is whether we do it, the Rosh says, because of Ya'ya Adayim Askanios, because our hands touch Mekomos HaMechusim during the night, and therefore we have to wash our hands. And therefore, let's say if we didn't touch Mekomos HaMechusim during the night, let's say we were up all night, let's say we wore gloves when we went to sleep because it was freezing, so then maybe we wouldn't need. But the Rashba says no, because we're like a Birya Chadasha every morning, like a Kohen that's Mekadesh his hands in the Beis HaMikdash from the Kiyor. We also have an Avoda every single morning to do. So that's a discussion. We're Machmer both reasons. We always do Netilas Yadayim, you know, when either reason applies. We don't make a bracha except when both reasons apply. There are many nafkaminas in terms of the machlokas to the Rashba and the Rash, but Lamaisa, we always are machmer for Netilas Yadayim to do it for any reason, but a bracha is only when all the reasons apply. Okay, but either way, that has to do with the Kiyor in the Beis HaMikdash, and we brought it in because of the word La'ora. Meisvei, next try. Marzutra, totally other context. Now we have sugyas of Tumas Yoledes, and not just Tumas Yoledes, but the Chiyuv Karbanos of Yoledes. Says the Gemara, Hamapelas Or Lishmonim. We know that a woman, when she has a baby, she's Tamei for 7 days for a boy and 14 days for a girl. And then she has, after Yemei Tumah, then she has Yemei Tohar. She has days where Midah Oraisa, she's totally Tohar. Anything that's coming out of her is not Metameh her. Yemei Tohar, 33 days for a boy and 66 days for a girl. During those times of Yemei Tohar, the halacha is, if somehow, it would only come for a girl, not for a boy. Let's say a woman becomes pregnant the second after, right, when Yemei Tohar starts, and she was with her husband again, and then she miscarries towards the end of Yemei Tohar within 80 days. So then the halach is, and the chazal determined that the case was that it was already a baby that's mechayiv, a set of karbanos of a yoledes. If it's within 80 days, she does not bring a new set of karbanos. Doesn't bring a new set of karbanos. Why? Because if it's within Yemei Tohar, she's still yotze with the first set of karbanos. Meaning, when a woman normally has a baby, she's chayav a set of karbanos, and she brings those karbanos on day 81. That's when she brings the karbanos. After those days. Actually, on day 80, I'm sorry, right on the daytime of the 80 when her malos is finished. She might go to the mikvah after the 14 days, but she cannot bring her karbanos until after all of the Yemei Tohar are finished. Ula basof Rashi says malos shalei d'shniya tavishe karbanos v'im hi pilo lel shal knisa shmona v'echa. No, like I said before earlier, so correct. Yeah, it's day 81. After the 80 days pass, within those 80 days, she's still considered within the first Leida. And therefore, if she has some type of miscarriage, as b'chayev karbanos within the first 80 days, after the 80 days, she only brings one set of karbanos. If she gets as a miscarriage on day 81 or later, that's a separate Leida, and therefore she would have to bring a new set of karbanos. The question that's discussed here between Bisham and Bisilo is, what if she's Mapelas or Lishmonim? Leil, the night of day 80. Why is this an interesting question? Because the night of day, Lishmonim Ve'echad, the night of day 81, why is that interesting? Because it's already day 81. So really, theoretically, she's in the new world of karbanos. But on the other hand, she cannot bring her karbanos until daytime. All the laws of hakrava, of avoda, only apply by day. So is this considered already after the time or not? That's the machlokas to Beishama and Beisela. Hamapelos or Lishmona Ve'echad. Let's read the whole discussion and then we'll discuss it a little more. Beishama Yapotrin mi karban. Beishama says, no new karban. Why? Because you Lomaisa cannot bring the Karbanos yet. So it's as if you're still within Yemei Tawar. And that's why no new set is obligated. Oh, Beis Hillel, Mechayiv. Beis Hillel says, no. Chayiv. Amru, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Why? Maishna or Shmona Vechad. Yom Shmona Vechad. What's the difference between the night of Leil 81 and the day of 81? Why? Im Shiva lo Latuma. If the night of 81 is the same as the day of 81, let's say she sees, she sees blood now. She sees Dom now. On the night of the 81st, she's Tamei. It's no longer Yemei Tawar. It's Tamei blood now. So if the night of the 81st is equal to the day of the 81st regarding Tumah, regarding blood, lo yishva lo lekarban. So then she should, the night should not be equal to the regarding the carbon as well. So even though she can't actually bring the carbonos now, you're in the world of the after melos carbonos, and therefore she should be chayv a new set. So what do you see from that discussion, though? Mitakamar Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai, from the fact that Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Maishna or Shmonim Ve'achad, Miyom Shmonim Ve'achad, Shmamina or Urtuhu Shmamina. So again, you see the word or means the night of. Good. Two ha'aras on this. And that is one. This is a big sugya we've discussed in the past. Beis Hillel Shita. Beis Hillel holds that the night of the 81st, she can't bring the Karbanos yet. But it's still in the world of new Karbanos. This is a sugya that Rav Soloveitchik spoke about. Rav Shekler quotes this in Eretz HaTzvi, and that is, do you ever have the object, the status of a chefza shel mitzvah, getting its status before the time that you could actually do the mitzvah, like here? It's called a karban already, l'chol, right? It's called the world of being able to bring the karban, even if you can't actually bring the karban. There's a Rashi in Besech HaSukkah. That's what the Bir Halacha points out. Bir Halacha in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah talks about this Rashi in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara there discusses Hadassim. Now, Hadassim, not just Lulavim, but Hadassim and others cannot be Nektam Rosho, cannot have the top of their branch cut off. Says the Gemara, Nektam Rosho Va'olsa Batimra Kasher. What if the top of it was chopped off, but then a berry grew on the top? So it's not chopped off anymore. There's a berry on top that is Kasher. It's kosher as long as the berry grew on top, it's not chopped off. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, what if it was Nektam Rosho on Erev Yontif? What if it got chopped off at Erev Yontif and it grew a berry on Yontif? Grew a berry on Yontif. This gets into the sugya of Dichui. So the question is, do we say that because it, when Yontif started, it was chopped off and it was cut off, it already is stained and tainted for all of Yontif? Or do we say, no, the mice, it has a berry now, so you could use it. What's the crucial moment for its growing a berry? So Rashi emphasizes when Yontif starts. When Yontif starts, the first night of Sukkot, you can't shake a lulav at night. You have to shake a lulav by day. Vayom HaRishon. Udi says Rashi, the ilav de kiddush hayom akati lochal of zman mitzvah. When before the yontif starts, the zman mitzvah didn't start yet. What do you mean the zman mitzvah doesn't start even till the morning? You should say as long as the berry grew before amud hashachar, before an eitzachama. What do you see? The status of a lulav starts. The status of hadassim, the status of Dalaminim, start when Sukkah starts. Not the next morning. Right when Sukkah starts. And this is why the Bir Halacha uses this to help explain the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that one is not allowed to use a shofar of Avodah Zarah for the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. But what if there was Bittel Avodah Zarah? We know a non-Jew's Avodah Zarah could be Nisbatel, could be nullified. So as long as he was Nisbatel it, he was Mavatel, he nullified it, so then one could use it then. When does the Bittel have to take place? Before Yontif. Again, that's what the Ramah says. Aval Nisbatel, Tafilo Obikachav Min Yotze Ela Bin Nisbatel Me Erev Yontif, says the Ramah. Says the Baralach, what do you mean Erev Yontif? It should be just before the morning of Rosh Hashanah when you have to blow the shofar. Says the Ramah, no. Says the Baralach, no. Look in Rashi. Rashi in Sukkah Lama Gimel. He tells you that the status of shofar might start even before the time that you could actually fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. Many examples to this. Let me just give one more. And that is, the Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Ayin Aleph, discusses whether a Kohen Katan, right, a Katan before his, a Kohen, he's a Katan who is before his Bris Milah, before his eighth day, is one allowed to smear him with Truma oil? He's an Orel now. Lach Ora, right, he doesn't have Bris Milah yet, therefore he's not allowed to use partake of truma. So the question is, before day 8, can he eat truma, can he be smeared with truma oil? So the Gemara in Yevamos has a suffix about it. The Yerushalmi, the parallel Yerushalmi in Yevamos, said, no, that's mutter. Before day 8, he could be smeared with oil. The question is, Leil Shmona. What about the night of the 8th? That's a suffix. What's the suffix about? So beautiful. It could be that before day 8, the child is not an RL. He's not in the RL means that he has the chiyuv of mila. He doesn't have a chiyuv of mila until day 8. So that's why the Yerushalmi says before day 8 is for sure mutter. He's not an RL yet. Leil Ches. That's a question. The night of the 8th, he can't do the mila until the next day. But he already might have the status of an RL even before the chi of actual befoal mitzvah can occur. And that's the suffix. And that could be, I've mentioned this in the past, that could be why, where the minna comes from for saying hamalach, doing shmirah for the baby the night before the bris. Where does that come from? So there might be other reasons and roots, but the night before might be because of this halachic reason, because he has the status of an RL already. So now he needs shmirah. Before this time he didn't have the status yet, but now Leil Ches he has the status of an RL, and therefore that might be why he needs the shmirah, and why we say Amal HaGoel, and the other shmirah paragraphs relating to the night before the bris. Good. Right. There's a lot more to talk about, also about Tumas Leida and the Tumas Yoledes. Why does a woman become Tame when she's Yoledes? Why there's that? We've been talking about the 33 and the 66. What about 7 and 14? What about those? Maybe just two haras that I mentioned a couple of years ago in a parsha shir, and then we'll get on to Nosar. And that is, Rav Shabshon Rafael Hirsch writes that Tumah is always associated with a vacuum of life. Wherever there used to be life and there's a vacuum of life, so then there's Tumah. So that's why Tumah, right, obviously the Aviyah Bosa Tumah and a corpse, anybody who comes in contact with a corpse, even Tumas Nida, a potential pregnancy that did not occur, might be seen in this regard, says Rav Hirsch. What about Tumas Yoledes? A woman had life inside of her. Now that life was taken out from her, there's life, but it's not inside of her anymore. That vacuum creates Tumas Yoledes. And then maybe even, he says, that's why if there's a girl, it's even more, because that life has the ability to even give more life. And therefore it's 14 and not only 7. Tumas Yoledes, according to Rav Hirsch. Okay, let's stop there, let's continue. Okay, this is one of the dafim that are the jam-packed. Again, the beginning of Psachim, they're all jam-packed. Many dafim in Psachim, we'll try to squeeze in what we can. Vayter Meisve says the Gemara on line 7 or so. Yochel, next try, next raya of Or. Next totally different context, the sugya of Nosar and Kachim. Yochel Yehe Nechel or Leshlishi. I might think that a carbon shlamim, which is allowed to be in day night day. Say I bring a carbon shlamim on a Monday afternoon. So Monday night, Tuesday. That's when you can eat a shlamim. And that's it. So I might think that you could eat it also the following night, day night. The dinhu, and it would be logical why zvachim nechal only yom echad, because kadshim, let's say a chatas or a nasham are eaten for one day and night. Vishlamim nechal on lishnei yamim, and vishlamim is also eaten for 2 days. Malahal on laila achra yom, just like a karban, let's say a chatas or nasham, you could eat it in the night following the day. Afkan laila achra yom, so do the shlamim. Whenever you can eat it by day, you can eat it the following night. So maybe I would say that you could eat it on the second night. So tam alomer no, biyom zivchachem yeachel umi macharas, on the day that you shechted and the next day. Vahanosar ad yom. And if you leave it over ad yom bechulu until the third day, you have to burn it. And what do we darshan from ad yom? Ba'od yom unechal ve'nonechal ar shlishi. Right, ba'od yom, while it's still yom, you can eat it, but you can't eat it or shlishi. So that's our raya already, see, or shlishi. But let's finish the braya. So yachol yisarif miyad, you might think you burn it immediately, right when you can't eat it, meaning the night of the second night, vidinu, and that also is a comparison. Zvachim nechal on liyom v'layla echad, a carbon, chatas or asham, are eaten for a day and a night. Vishlamim nechal on l'shem v'layla echad, and ashlam are eaten for a day and a night. Ma lahalan teka l'achila sreifa, by other carbonas, right after the time for eating it evaporates, that's when you burn it, the next morning. Afkan, take of achila sreifa. So maybe you might think you burn it also here, right after the heter achila disappears, and that's the second night. Tamalomar, no, sir, mi psar hazevach, bayom ashlishi, ba'eshi sareif. No, the next day you burn it. Bayoma tasaref sarfo v'yata sarfo balayla. No, you burn it by day, which is why also, we're going to learn later on, Bez Hashem, why we burn our chametz by day, not right after we do bedika, because it's the comparison to no sar. We burn it by day. That's the brisa. But for our purposes, v'itaka'amar yehenechal or lashlishi, alma ar urta hushmamina. So there it says the word ar lashlishi. Again, you see the word ar means nighttime. Two ha'aras. Number one is the Ramban. Beautiful Ramban at the beginning of Ayikra points out, see what the language of the pasig is? Bayom ziv chacham ye'achel, umi macharas, v'hanosar, yom ha'shlishi v'chulu. Says the Ramban, there's a lachadchila to eat the shlamim on day one. Even though you're allowed to eat the shlamim on day two, you're allowed to eat the shlamim, you're lachadchila to eat the shlamim on day one, because the Torah itself, not only this pasuk, you look at the other pasuk by Nosar, it calls the second day Nosar also. Obviously, you're allowed to eat it. But the Ramban says there's lachadchila to eat shlamim even on day one. Maybe it's reason makdimah l'mitzvahs, which is on tomorrow's daf. Number one. Number two, what's the reason the Sefer Chinuch talks about? Sreifas Nosar. We know Nosar is an Issa Daraisa, leaving over a carbon, and then there's a Mitzvah Zaseh to burn the Nosar, right? Nosar is an example, Lachora, of a Lav Hanitak La'aseh. Menachas Chinuch has trouble with that a little bit by Nosar, for various reasons, but Pashat is a Lav Hanitak La'aseh. But what's the reason, the Ashkafa, behind the Mitzvah of Sreifas Nosar? So that's a discussion in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Gimel. The Chinuch gives two reasons why we have to burn Nosar. Number one is, Sheteva Kol Basar Lihi Paseid B'Shehiya V'Lavo L'Dei Sirchon. Because meat becomes disgusting and rots after a couple of days. The alkane, and therefore the Torah wants all kudshim to be able to look at as holy and special. The Torah doesn't want you to look in your fridge after in Yerushalayim after a couple of days and see, oh, look what happened to this shlamim. No, we don't want that. We don't want you to ever look at a karban in that type of way. And therefore, lahakdalas tvar karban after the first day, the second day, nitztavinu l'sarfo miyad. So people don't look at it in that type of way. And the ultimate way of destroying something is with fire. Right? You might say also, our children always say this, leftovers, again, Shabbos food. So we should never look at that way at Nosar. Here it is again. No, the next day you have to burn it. Number one. Number two, the other idea is the idea of bitachon. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. I shouldn't have to. The language is Shelo Yehi Adam Chonek Atzmo B'Ma'achalo Yoser Midai LaHatzniel Yom Machar. Shouldn't like constantly, right? There's a kazav eshtavlus of saving up, but there's also a kazav bitachon. So this mitzvah is about, you know, burn the carbon today. You know, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you more tomorrow. Right? Don't worry about it. That's the gavlus of the month. That's the money. The Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us, you know, enough today for tomorrow. Every morning we got what we needed. Right? The message being that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what we need, and He takes care of us every day. We have to make sure that we have that bitachon. Okay, Vayter Tashma. Next try of Or. Or shall Yom Kippurim mispala sheva umisvade the Or of Yom Kippurim, meaning the night of Leil Yom Kippur. You say seven. Brachos in Shmona Esrei umizvada, and we do vidui shachris b'zal shev umizvada. In the morning you do it again. B'musav b'zal shev umizvada. B'minch b'zal shev umizvada. B'neila b'zal shev umizvada. Ba'arvis, what about Meir of after Yom Kippur? B'zal me'ein Shmona Esar. The Tanakhama here holds that you don't have to, you know, everybody's in a rush on b'zal Yom Kippur, so you can do the short in Shmona Esrei. Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Right? What does that mean? The Gemara talks about this in Maseches Brachos, what exactly this means. Me'ein Shmona Esrei. But we don't pass in that way, obviously. Rabbi Chaim, Gamliel, Omer, Mishma, Vosam, Mispal Shmona Esrei, Esrei, Shlemos. No. 18. You don't make one phrase for every bracha and make one big bracha. The Gemara talks about there, Havi Neinu and Me'ein Shmona Esrei. But we pass, can you say Shmona, regular Shmona Esrei? Why? Rabbi Tzorach, Lomer, Havdala, Bechonin Adas. Because you have to mention Atachon Atanu on Motzah Yom Kippur. And you can't mention that in Me'ein Shmona Esrei because, the Gemara says there, every line of the Me'ein Shmona Esrei is reflective of a bracha. Atachon Atanu is not a separate bracha. So you can't leave it out, but you can't put it in either because that would reflect as its own bracha. Therefore, you're stuck. You have to say the whole Shmona Esrei on Motzah Yom Kippur. Alma or Urtu Shvamina. But again, you see the word or Shmona Kippur meaning nighttime. Period. Another two comments. Number one, so we pause. The Gemara here says that we do vidui in every Shmona Esrei of Yom Kippur. But we know that we also do vidui on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur. That's pretty amazing. Is that just a lemaisa shemi yichanik? The Gemara talks about that the Satan really wants to get us right before Yom Kippur. So that's why we have to do vidi before Yom Kippur. Or there is a lashon of a chai adam that the or, no pun intended on our Gemara, the aura and the aura of Yom Kippur already starts on Erev Yom Kippur. We know there's a mitzvah say daraisa to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So maybe we already do vidui then because it's already Yom Kippur has come early. And that's where Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, this su'uda, the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is really su'udas Yom HaKippurim. We just can't eat on Yom Kippur because it's a fast day. But we do it earlier and it's su'udas Yom HaKippurim. Okay, either way, that is the in terms of the Vida and Erev Yom Kippur. There's a beautiful piece that's quoted. Rav Mirsky quotes this in the first volume of Hegyoni Halacha. He asks three questions which end up all answering each other related to the sugya of shortening brachos. He discusses Ala Michya there. We know Ala Michya is a shortened benching. It's called Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. Three questions. Number one is, why is there no Azkara for Chanukah and Purim in Ala Michya? Let's say I have a lot of mizonos on Purim, which we always do. We're eating all day. So why don't we say, well, now that there's no Haskara, we don't mention Purim or Chanukah in Ala Michya. We mention the other Chagim. We mention Pesach. We mention Rosh Chodesh, Vechulu. Question one. Question two, why do, where we do mention the Moadim, we mention them in the wrong place, Lechora? Why? Because in benching, Yalav Yavo is before Bonei Barachama of Yerushalayim Amen. It's within that bracha, while in Ala Michya, it's all the way at the end. Right, we have the Lashonos that are summarizing the brachos. And at the end, we say, so it's out of order. Why do we mention it out of order? Number two. And number three, why is it that we mention the other chagim at all? They're not brachos. Just like the reason here, well, we don't mention Atochan Antanu in the Bracha Me'ein Shmona Esrei, because it's not a bracha. You can't mention a line that's not reflective of a bracha. So here too, Yalav Yavo is not its own bracha, so why do we mention it at all? So if you put all these three questions together, Mirsky writes, this is on page 218, in the first volume of Hegyoni Halacha, he writes that, you're right, we wouldn't mention it if it in its normal sense, if it's normal place, because it's not a bracha. We don't mention Chanukah and Purim because it's not a bracha. Why do we mention the other holidays? Because there is a halacha that if somebody forgets Yalav Yavo right after Bonei Bracha Yerushalayim Amen, they could say it in the form of a bracha. There's a bracha that you say. You say Baruch Hashem. Okay, the it's quoted in some of the benchers. Asher Nasad Moadim L'Sason L'Simcha Yom Chag Aploni Azeh Baruch Hashem Mekadish Yisrael V'Azman. There's a bracha that you add in for Ritzei and Yalav Yavo. If you forget afterwards, if you already said Bonei Bracha Yerushalayim Amen, meaning really it shouldn't be an Ala Michya. But where do we put it in Ala Michya? After Bnei Yerushalayim, because that's the only place where it would be a bracha. It can't be before Bnei Yerushalayim, because it's not appropriate to be in Ala Michya then. But afterwards, it is its own bracha. You're right, there it's only if you forgot, and we usually don't have it, but that's how it gets into Ala Michya. But Chanukah and Purim, it's never its own bracha. You forget Ala Nisim, you forget Ala Nisim. And that's why it is not mentioned there. So that's a beautiful piece in Rav Mirsky, relating to the idea of leaving things out when they are not reflective of a bracha. That's what we said here by Chonin Adas. Good. Tashma, we continue. Detani de Shmuel. One more. Lele Arbasar. We have a brisa that says Beferish. Instead of the word Ari, uses the Lashon of Lele. Lele Arbasar. Both in a Sachamis V'ar Haner. Alma Ar Urtu. So, final nail. Right, we say Ar is Urtu is nighttime. You see, even the Lashon of Lele is used. So the Gemara, after such cumulative evidence, we can't just say it's a riot to one and a kasha on the other. Ella. Bain Rav Huna, Bain Rav Yehuda, everybody holds the Kuliyama or Urtahu. They both hold R is nighttime. Velo Pligi, so why does one say Naghi? Marki Asri or Marki Asri? They just have different words to mean night. But they both mean night. Basri Rav Huna Karu Naghi. Basri Rav Yehuda Karu Lele. They each called it something. They also called it something different. Doesn't Nagi mean light no? So you see on the side, right? It's a Lashon Sagi Nahar. Like you call a Suma Sagi Nahar, but really it means light, but they mean night. Good, period. V'tana di'zan my time alok tani lele. So in our Mishnah, why do we have to have the first blot of Masechet Pesachim? Why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi just use the word lele arba'asar instead of using arla arba'asar, which is a more ambiguous lashon? So the Gemara says, "Lishna ma'alyan hu." It's a more refined lashon. Dinakat. Ukadi Yerushua ben Levi, Dam Yerushua ben Levi, La Olam al Yozi Adam Davar Maguna Mipiv. A person should never have something Miguna, something negative, something little. It's not even nivel peh, chas v'shalom, nivel peh, the Gemara says in Shabbos, nivel peh, terrible, can remove a gzeira, tova of 70 years. This is davar maguna mipiv, even a little gray area, even if it's somewhat appropriate, but it's inappropriate. Should never do that. Where do we know that from? From the Torah itself. And that's why it says, or instead of night. Because night is a more of a negative. Even, it's not really a negative. Shari ike makas of Shmona Osios. The Torah itself added in 8 extra letters. V'lahotzi davar maguna mipiv. It didn't say davar maguna. Shen ne'emar, where? In Parshas Noach. The Torah tells us, what animals did Noach take? Min ha-behima ha-Torah, u min ha-behima asher einena Torah. From the animals that were tar, and the animals that were, should say tamei. But it says einena Torah, an extra 8 letters. To go out of its way to not say the word tame. It says einena tahora. So that's what we learned from the Torah. Doesn't it say tame later in the Torah? It says tame later in the Torah. So what do we, just here? So 2 answers. Number one, some of Farshim say, it's the first time, it's to set a tone. To set a tone, the first time, you're right, later on it says it, tame, because every letter of the Torah is meant to teach us something, but at least the first time we get the message, number one. Number two, the Dubna Magid says that, no, later on, the Torah is interested in teaching us halachos, most of the time, when it says tame. And halacha, the Torah has to be exact and not ambiguous in any way, and that's why it would rather use a slight davar meguna, because that's teaching you a halacha. But here there's no halacha, it's only a story about Noach, and that's why it uses einena tahora. Good, by the way, Rashi, if you remember Allah Torah, says on this pasuk that einena tahora, Torah einena tahora, mikach laman Noach Torah. He's even read that Noach learned Torah. How did he know what was Torah, what was not Torah? Even if Hashem told him which one, so the Torah, Hashem was teaching him what was Tahar and what was not, what was kosher, what was not kosher. You see, from Noach learned Torah there too. That's another sugya about the Avos, or even Noach keeping the Torah before it was given. But the Torah goes out of its way and adds 8 letters. Rav Papa Amar Teisha, 9 letters even, because there's another context, Shneemar. Ki yeh, and this doesn't work so well with the Dubna Magid, because this is teaching you a halacha here. Ki yeh b'cha ish asher lo yeh Tahar. Mikra Laila, if somebody that has an inappropriate emission at night, but it says Lo Yiyet Tahor instead of saying Tameh. Again, Ravina Amar Eser, Vav Datar. Ravina says, no, the word Tar there is written Malay, so it's an extra letter. Okay. Rav Achar Bar Yaakov Amar Sheshesrei, 16 extra letters were written in another context. Shnei Amar, it says by Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, Ki Amar Mikrehu Bilti Taharhu, Ki Lo Tahor. Again, a pasuk in Navi. The early Mefarshim probably didn't quote that because they wanted a pasuk from the Torah and not just from Navi. Good. So you see from there, one is not allowed to use even a Lashon Maguna. We have to make sure, right, our mouths are totally clean. Somebody told me, I was in Silver Spring over Shabbos. I gave a couple of shiurim there. So I mentioned the Kuzari. The Kuzari says that the 4 levels of being, of domim, someach, chai, and medaber, the domim, the inanimate objects, and the chai, the live growers, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the animal kingdom is on top, right, chai, and then on top you have medaber, you have the speakers. And I mentioned that, many point out, that when we don't use our koach hadibur properly, then we're no better than the animals. We wouldn't be on top of the pyramid. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rav Schlesinger, of Elio Schlesinger, writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the donkey talk to Bilam and didn't have a bas kol go out from Shemayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically telling Bilam that, Bilam, if you're using your koach hadibur for negative purposes, you're no better than a talking donkey. That's why that nace occurred. He's no better than a donkey. So somebody came over to me afterwards and said that he saw in his sefer that it's not just that man goes down a level to the animal kingdom, but it's in that whole pyramid. If you don't use your special unique koach, you're zero. You're a nothing. What's the raya? If I kill a plant, does it become a domain? Does it become an inanimate object? Does it become dirt or rocks? No, it becomes nothing. It's zero. So too by each of them. If they don't use their unique abilities, they become a zero. So if people aren't using koach hadibur, it's even worse. It's a beautiful hara that you learn from the other levels. Okay, we continue. Tana devei Rabbi Tanya devei Rabbi Yishmael, la'olam yisaber adam lashon nikiyah. A person should always use clean perfect, beautiful, pure language. Shari bezav kara omerkov, because the Torah itself, when it talks about a zav and a zava, women, people who are tame, by a zav, it uses the lashon merkov, riding, ubiisha kara moshav, and by a woman, it says moshav, which is more sitting, and we don't have to think about a woman riding something. Right? It's a more tsanua lashon. V'omer v'sivchar lashon arumim, and it chooses smart language. V'omer v'da'as vasai barumi leilu. Right? Three psukim quoted. My v'omer, why do you need all these three psukim? V'chitema, if you only had the first pasuk, v'chitema, you might have thought hani mili bita araisa. The Torah has to be on that level, that standard, to use such lashon nikiya. Avo b'drabanan lo, but the rabbanan do not. Tashma v'omer v'sivchar lashon arumim. That's referring to the language of the rabbis. The chitim, and if you want to say hani mili bidrabanan, avo b'mili da amalo, the high standard is when you're talking at least the words of the rabbis. But stam talking sichas chulin, well, they're not have to be on that level. V'yomer, that's why we have the third pasuk, tashma v'yomer v'das vasai barmi leilu. Period. Says the Gemara, ubi ish loksiv ba merkav. The Torah doesn't use merkav by a woman. Right, so v'aksiv, but it says by Rivka, v'atakam Rivka v'nara seha v'aterkavna ala gemalim. They rode on the donkeys, on the camels, when they were coming to Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, no, hasa mishem yasusa de gemalim orchehu. Camels are very high up. Right? It's pretty dangerous to ride sideways on a camel, let's say. You have to ride normally, what's called regular rechiva. And therefore, that's not unsnius. Right, that's understandable because it's very dangerous. The camels are very high up. Right, the poskim, as I saw the Chazuk Yechemin here discuss, what about riding a bicycle? Is there any issue about a woman riding a bicycle? Okay, not for now. The Haksiv says the Gemara, says the Pasuk, Vayikach Moshe Zeshov Ezbanav Yarkivim Ala Chamor. Moshe Rabbeinu put his family on the donkey. A donkey's not so high up. So there's no issue of sakana that it's so high up. So the Gemara says, no, there too. Hasam Mishim Banav Urchehu. Because of the children that were going with Tzipora, Urchehu. What exactly does that mean? So you look at the Pasha of the Gemara, you might say, Mishum Banav Urchehu, because of Banav, it's Urche for her, for Tzipora, it says the Lashon, referring to the children, but it's also referring to her, and she's with them, says Rashi. Rashi seems to not have the Lashon of Urchehu. It might just say here, Mishum Banav. Shehin Zacharim kaz Lashon Rechiva. The Lashon Rechiva, according to Rashi, might only be going on the children and not her. But the Argamara, Urchehu, might mean that no, because there are children also on the donkey, it's Urche for the mother to go with the children, but the Rechiv is also referring to the woman. Okay, either way, no nafkamina. V'hoksiv, he rocheves ala chamor. It also says by Avigail, he rocheves ala chamor, also on the donkey, no children there. Hasamishim biyasusa delelya urchehu. No, there either because it was nighttime, so also it was dangerous. Got to be on the donkey straight. Yibayisema mishim biyasusa delelya leka. There's no, she wasn't scared of the night. Mishim biyasusa de Davidika. She was going to meet the king, David Amelech, and therefore she was scared. She's got to be stable on the animal. Yibayisema mishim biyasusa de David Amelecha. Mishim biyasusa de Harika. Or it was very rocky terrain, and therefore she needed to be solidly on the animal. Okay. Period. We continue. This is the Psachim Dav Gimel, discussions of language. Upe Oraisa Miloksiv Tame. It's a similar question to what we said before. The Torah never uses the Lashon of Tame. Says the Gemara, Ella, there are certain competing factors. Kol Hecha Dechi Hadadi Ninhu, where it's the same exact length, right? The Lashon Migune and the Lashon Nikia, so Mishtoi, but Lashon Nikia, obviously used Lashon Nikia. Kol Hecha de Nefishin Mile, where it would be longer, Mishtoi, but Lashon Kitzara. Right, we use the Lashon Kitzara. What about the previous Shitas on Amad Aleph? Rashi says. Right? No, it's the first time, maybe is different. Or if it's a story, maybe it's different. But this is what the Gemara says here. Right? Where it's equal, use Lashon Nikia, but also Lashon Kitzara is a value. Kedam Rav Yehuda Marav, Amri La Amar, Avuna Marav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, La'olam Yishana Adam L'Talmido Derek Kitzara. Period. A person should always be as concise as possible when formulating in teaching. Why? Rashi says, on top, fourth line, L'Lamedcha, She Yishana Adam L'Talmido Derek Lashon Kitzara, L'Fisha Mis Kayemes Girsa Shela Yosim in Ha'arucha. The shorter it is, sometimes it can stay and stay with the Talmud longer. Right? The Rav Sternbach writes in his Hagdama to Chuvas Vahanhagos that all his Chuvas are short because Rabim Ohavim Hakitzer. People like short. People open up a Chuva and see five pages. They just open it and close it. You know, many of us do. But if they see a short Chuva, okay, this I can handle, this I could do, this I could focus on. So Lashon Kitzara is something that is crucial. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig had two ha'aris though on this also. And number one is that Lashon Kitzara is not just stam, they remember it better. But being able to formulate the idea in a concise and sharp and direct way reflects Havana. And I really have to understand something in order to give it over to a Talmud. If I just give these formulations that are so circular and so not clear, the Talmud's not going to get it. I don't really understand it. I don't even know what I'm saying. What the job of a Rebbe, the job of any giver over of Torah, it has to be exact formulations and everything focused on getting to the goal of Havana. That's Lashon Kitzara, because Lashon Kitzara is required to be able to reflect Havana and give it over, number one. Number two, also, as he made the Ha'ara, that a Rebbe, as we know, the Rambam describes in the end of Hilchos Tshuva, that when you love something, so then you can't stop talking about it. When you're engaged to a girl, you can't stop talking about her. Somebody loves her, you can't stop talking. The Rambam says that's what we have to have about Avas Hashem. We have to just can't control ourselves when it comes to Avas. We have to talk about Hashem over and over and over again. So the Mefarshim explained that if somebody loves, reverses like I said, that if somebody loves Torah, a Rebbe can't stop talking about Torah. He's overflowing with Torah. And yet, the Gemara says, Lashon Kitzara. No matter how much you want to give and say over, you got to realize where the students are and what they need to hear and be concise and straight and clear in formulating it. There is, he didn't quote this, I don't think, but there's a Kuntres HaSfekos, fascinating Kuntres HaSfekos in the Havdama. Kuntres HaSfekos is the brother of the Ksos, is printed with a number of Ksoses, not with every Ksos, but with some Ksoses is printed. In his Havdama there, he says, imagine if somebody would come and offer you to go up to Shamayim. So you could see the Gan Eden, you could see everything in Shamayim, says the Kuntres HaSfekos. But with one condition, you're not allowed to say anything to anybody when you get back about it. I'll show you whatever you want, but you cannot say a word about it to anybody. Says the Kuntres HaSfekos, most of us would not go. Because naturally, people are gregarious, are social beings, are social creatures, and we have to share. Am I Afshal Adam Aloso Ashamaim Aleros Bitzvos Mala Sidram Yisharam? Lohaya Misanig Bahasagoso Ad Shuvo Heina Lasaper Lachaverov Etamaraha Gadolahu Velohem Yiteno Omer Mavasit Svarava Gufin Yakur Vahulu Vahulu. He says, and it would be tremendously painful to go through it, and we would probably say, says the Kuntres HaSfekos, it's okay, I'll pass. If we have to get it and not be able to say it, because naturally we give over, we like to share what we are involved in and what is valuable to us. But here, but when it comes to a Rebbe, even though that's true, Lashon Kitzara. Beautiful. Once we're on the topic of, let's do a little bit more and then we'll talk more about language. Says the Gemara, whenever it's exactly the same length, he always used the more mechuban lashon. In that context, rocheves and yosheves. So rocheves ksiv, no, it's spelled chaser, and therefore it is shorter. It's an interesting discussion in terms of Maseches Beitza. There is a Yamshel Shlomo. Yamshel Shlomo writes in Baba Kama that you should call it Beitz Beya and not Beitza. Lashon Nikia, because, Beitzim also have another translation. It's called a Beya. Most Mefarshim, and if you look on the Likutim, the beginning of Maseches Beitza, Pashas, Rav Hashem say, there's no difference between Beitza and Beya. Beitza is Hebrew, Beya is Aramaic. That doesn't make it Lashon Nikia. A little Tzarech Ian, but Pashas is, one can call it Beitza, because Beitza means an egg, right? In Hebrew, in Aramaic, whatever it is, Beitza is an egg. Good. There is also just one other machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. I think I mentioned this in the past, and that's in terms of we call Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. Why is it called Lashon HaKodesh? Why is it such a holy language? So the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, the Ramban quotes at the beginning of Kisisa on the Pasuk B'Shekel HaKodesh, the Rambam says because there's no what we would call dirty words in Lashon HaKodesh. No dirty words. Husband and wife are together, we call that Bia. Bia, going in, entrance. You can go into a house also. Right? Bia, there's nothing. There's no specific word in Lashon HaKodesh. We're not talking about modern Hebrew. Lashon HaKodesh for the Ever HaZachar, the Ever HaNekeva. Right? That's what makes it Kadosh. The Rambam says. The Ramban argues vehemently. He says no. He says it's Lashon HaKodesh because HaKodesh Baruch Hu created the world with this language. And there's so much that we imbue it. Right, Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban, whether we imbue it or it's inherently Kodesh. Kihi adavar barusha, lashon Kodesh kadashim, mukumoshim irashi, says the Ramban. But it's a divrei Torah, v'anevuas, v'chol divrei kedusha, kulam v'lashon ahu namru. The Torah was given, the nevuas were given in lashon HaKodesh. V'hinei hua lashon shakadosh baruch hu yis'aleh shmo, midaber bo'im neviya, v'im adaso, anochi v'lo yilecha. Very interesting Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why is it called lashon HaKodesh? Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Hanu, Tre Talmidi, Taviyasvi Kamidarav. There were two students that were sitting in front of Rav. Chad Amar, Shavitun Haishmaitza, Kidvar Acher Misak Sankan. This sugi is really hard. It's really hard, one of them said to each other. It's like a Kidvar Acher Misankan. What is a Dvar Acher Misankan? Like that it's making me tired, like a Dvar Acher. Dvar Acher means a pig. This is making me tired like a goat, right? A gedi ayef, Rashi says. I mean, some lashon, they both expressed that it was a very hard sugya, but one used a comparison to a pig and one to a goat. And Rav did not talk to the one who used lashon of a pig because, you know, lashon, right? You don't have to mention that. If you could have mentioned a gedi, you don't have to mention a chazir. Right? This is not the level that they were on. Right? Our mentioning a pig today in a certain context, and we're talking about a pig. Look, or right, there are other more basic ideas that we should be language issues. Right, we have to go step by step. Let's focus on our lashon hara and our other issues first before we get to these other examples. Hanu Trei Talmidei Rabbi Yosi Kamei de Hillel. There were two students in front of Hillel. V'chad minei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'amri lo Kamei de Rebbe. Some say it was in front of Rebbe. V'chad minei Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amar mibnei ma botsrin betara ve'in moskin betara. One of them said, why do we, Botser is gathering olives and gathering grapes, and Mosik is gathering, harvesting olives. Same exact activity, but just a different verb is used by a different fruit. So why do we make sure to have to when we do it with grapes to have a tahar kalim, and by olives, right? We're not so makpid. V'chad amar, without getting into the details of the answer to that question, the other one says, "Mepnei ma boshrin b'taro moskin b'tuma." Use lashon of tuma, not just not tara. Amar, when he heard, the Rebbe heard this, whoever the Rebbe was, he said, Muftach ani bazeh shemoreho rabbi Yisrael. I am sure that this person will be moreho ra'a amongst Israel. He will be a great leader amongst Israel. And he was. It's not 100% clear which one he was talking about. The Ron here has two deis. Right, was he talking about the one who used Lashon Nekiyah? Or no? You have to be exact. So that's why you should say Tamei. So, two deis in the Ron here in the back, which one he was talking about. Good. Meaning, which example is this illustrating of the previous Gemara? Hanu Tlasi Kani, there were three Kohanim, Chad Amar Lehu, Higiani Kapul, they're talking about the Lechem Apanim. They were each going like, how much Lechem Apanim did you get? Oh, I got the size of a bean. V'chad Amar Higiani Kizayis. Oh, I got the size of a Kizayis. V'chad Amar Higiani Kizanav Haltah. I got the size of a lizard's tail. Whoa. Lizard's tail? Lizard is a Tamei. You're talking about the Lechem Apanim, you're comparing it to a lizard's tail? They checked after him and they realized that his yichus wasn't so great. Really? I thought you don't check, says the Gemara. Once a Kohen serves the Mizbeach, we know the Mishnayos at the end of Kadshim described that every Kohen went through a strong and serious test in terms of their family yichus. And they tested them to see what the yichus was. And afterwards, if they passed, that they wore white when they went out. If they didn't pass, they wore black. But once somebody's serving on the Mizbeach, then you don't check again. Right? You assume that the guy is good. He already had his check beforehand. So what do you mean they checked here? So the Gemara says two things. Number one, lo teim Hashem etz pasol, ela eim Hashachatz pasol. Either you're right, they didn't check his yichus, but they realized he was a Baal Gaiva now. And therefore, they took care of him because of his gasas ruach mida. V'ibayaseima, or shani hasan di'iu da'ar lanafshi. Or here there's a reyesa. He said that's like, wait a minute, maybe we didn't check perfectly and carefully before, so we have to check again. Good. This is also a huge sugya, not for now, relating to chatzishir when it comes to mitzvah saseh. Right? How is it? They got the size of a bean? Is that a mitzvah? Is there an idea if I only have a half a kezias of matzah, is there any mitzvah to eat that half a kezias? By mitzvah saseh, do we say chatzishir? Like we say it by averos? Chatzishir al-sam in HaTorah? That's a sugya right here. The sugya comes up in Yuma as well. We've touched on it, but that is this sugya as well. Hahu Arma. Okay, famous story. There was a certain Arimian that used to go and fake everybody out and go eat Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Omar, he says, I know a non-Jew is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. He used to brag that he ate from the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda Beseira once said to him, did they give you from the tail? The tail, this was a setup. The tail was burned on the Mizbeach. Did they give you from the tail? Amar Lei Lo. He said, no. He says, they didn't give you anything yet. So he said, okay, I'm going to get the tail next time. When he went there, aim up. Luhu, Safali Me'alya. Can I please have some tail? Shabbat Yudah Ben Masira says, when you go up there, ask him for the tail. Kisalak Amar, when he went, Amar Lu, Me'alya Safali. Can you please give me from the tail? Amru Lei. The tail, they said to themselves, what's this guy asking? It's going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amrulei, man amalachahach, who told you to ask for the tail? Amrulei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir told me. What do you mean? Amru, my hide to come on. What is going on here? Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir told you to get from the tail? That's burned. So this must be something. Batku basrei, vashkechuhu da'armahu, vikatzluhu. They did some little research, they realized he was non-Jewish, and they killed him. And they said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Shalom to you, Da'at ben Netzivin, you're all the way out there in Netzivin, Umetzudascha prusa b'Yerushalayim. But literally, your net is spread around Yerushalayim, your reach is felt even in Yerushalayim. There's major discussions on this little story here, five or six major sugyas, just to try to mention them, even though we can't go into them. Number one, why'd they kill him? There are only two mitzvos that a non-Jew is not allowed to do on the pain of death, and that is Torah and Shabbos. Karban Pesach he's not allowed to eat, but he's not chayim misa. So the Minchas Chinuch says maybe it was gezel, maybe it was, he's stealing from the rest of the chabura because he's not allowed to be there. Others say the Merom Meisadas, maybe he was a tummy that was nichnas l'mikdash. Either way, suggestions are given, but it's very difficult. Number one, issue one. Number two is Tosfos discusses here, and Rabbeinu David Bonfield discusses here in terms of ne'emanus. Is this Gemara a riot? We know if somebody walks into the shul and says, hi, I'm a Kohen, we trust him. Hi, I'm a Yisrael, we trust him. Hi, I'm Jewish, we trust him. Do we trust him? Rabbeinu David says, it's a riot for me that we trust him. Because they trusted until they had the setup, they trusted that this guy was Jewish. They didn't do any research. So it says Rabbeinu David, you can trust people if they say they're Jewish. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it can't. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu, the Rishonim argue and say, no, here there's a rove people that come to do Karban Pesach are Jewish. This is also a big sugi in terms of ne'emanus, of a person coming and saying that he's Jewish. Number three, the other issue, and that's what Tosfos asks here in Me'alia is, why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir in Yerushalayim? What was he staying in Netzivin for? So Tosfos gives three answers, which have to be discussed at length. The Tosfos says, he didn't have any karka, or he was old, or it was in Chutz La'aretz. It was in Chutz La'aretz. What if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to put yourself, your derech rechoka, you don't have to put yourself into a position to do a mitzvah? Those are three major answers that are all discussed by the Achronim. Just want to end with one Chashuk Echemed. He has the case, a Kohen asked him, he lives in Chutz La'aretz, does he have a chiyuv to make aliyah, not just because of everybody else, the reason of mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so he could duchen every day. He could duchen every day. I once had a Talmud who was an Ashkenazi who asked, do he have a chiyuv when he was in yeshiva? There was one Sephardi minion in yeshiva where they duchen. Does he have a chiyuv to go to that minion in order to duchen every day? Because they duchen in Chutz La'aretz. So Pashas is, there is no chiyuv. Right? The Magen Avraham quotes the Siman Yud Gimel, the person doesn't have to leave his city to go find a mitzvah, to go find a talis, to put on tzitzis. So l'chor, the same thing here too. That shouldn't, to go for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, fine. But to go for dafka, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, l'chor, that wouldn't be the reason. But either way, this was three crucial answers in Tosfos, again, much discussed by all of the Achronim. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but Hashem, we will continue again when I can get the next daf up. But this was Psachim Daf Gimel.